have your Bible with you this morning, I'd like to draw your attention to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I also want to thank those that stepped in, filled in our absence last week. And thank the Lord for willing hearts to do that. And the good report that I've heard. Good reports that I've heard. Not just one, but several. Except I'm not real sure that Gerald preached long enough. Somebody said you're supposed to get people in to fill the pulpit for you. They'll preach longer to make you look better. But he didn't do that for me. At least Sunday morning. He might have filled the shoes a little bit Sunday night, I understand. And thank you for your prayers. This family and I were gone last weekend for the youth revival at Noblesville. Sure appreciate people praying. First Peter chapter 5, if you would stand with me as we read from God's Word this morning. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger. Boy, he gets us all here, doesn't he? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your admonition to us. Pray that you would give us the anointing that we need this morning. Anoint my mind and lips. Anoint our ears and our heart that we might be receptive to your voice and to your word this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was a senior in high school, about as tall as I am now, but I may have been 170 pounds with soaking wet clothes on. We were in PE class, and it was during that time of year that PE class was wrestling. You know, there's something about guys, boys, and wrestling. You know, it's just a fun thing to do. Well, there was this one fellow in that class. He was a junior in high school. He was about 5'9", maybe. Wasn't very tall, but nobody would wrestle him. Nobody would agree to going up against him. Well, I did. There was really a reason why no one would go up against him. But I guess I was the town idiot, maybe. He came at me and picked me up and proceeded to throw me to the mat. You know, 170 pounds isn't a whole lot to somebody that's got arms that don't quit or muscles that don't quit. Didn't matter how much I tried to hang on or use my wiry ability, I could not keep from being slammed to that mat. The first time down was bad enough, only that he followed me and slammed into my chest, and from then on I was of no good at all. He could do whatever he wanted to. Pick me up again, slam me down, follow, and I thought every bone in my torso was being crushed. Couldn't breathe, couldn't catch my breath, couldn't even reach out to get away from him. Yeah, he may have been much shorter, but he was much bigger when it comes to the muscle. I should have known better. Just by looking at him, knowing that he was the strongest boy in the school. I forget how much he benched. I forget how much he was able to squat. I forget all of those details. He probably just squished it out of me. But I should have known better than to even think that I was going to give him any run. But I think that I was thinking that if he would just fight fair, that we could at least have a wrestling match. But no, he wanted to, you know, show off a little bit. He wanted to humiliate me a whole bunch. He was successful. There's an enemy that we have that does not fight fair. He does not go about things the way you and I might think that he should or that he ought to. But he fights with all the strength that he can accumulate against our feeble minds and our feeble efforts. We find here in this text, we find something that could stand out to us as a title, the attack of the enemy. Be sober, he said. Be sober, be sane, be controlled. Be vigilant, be on the alert or watchful. Pay attention to what's going on. Understand the wiles of the enemy. The reason behind that is simply because your adversary. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12, it tells us there, Paul says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's a message in itself right there. Put on the whole armor. Not just selective armor, but the whole armor, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not taking on the strongest boy in gym class. We're not taking on the strongest man in the world. What we are wrestling against is principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against something or someone who is invisible and who cannot be felt with the feeling of our hand, the senses that we may have to reach out and to understand with our hands. We wrestle against principalities and powers, wickedness of this generation or the present darkness in which we live. There's three things that I want to notice, four things ultimately, but I want to notice about the attack. The first thing about the attack is that it is planned. It's a planned attack. Perhaps Napoleon was one of the greatest generals in past history in regards to planning his attack. I know that we have some great generals in our military forces today, and they've been able to accomplish some tremendous things. But when I've studied Napoleon, when I've read about Napoleon, to me, he was an incredible general. He was an incredible leader. To understand his enemy that he was about to attack, the way that he went about learning the weaknesses, trying to find the weakest point or the weakest link, or to find their easiest point to reach in and to get them. One time he said, as they were looking at the map and someone pointed out China, and he said, "No, we're going to leave the sleeping giant alone." He was understanding that though they were asleep, if they did anything at all to China at that time, it would be like raising up an angry giant. He was smart enough, he was understanding enough to know that he needed to leave that place alone. But his plans, the way that he went around about to plan, I think that is so common in the way that the enemy of our soul also plans. He looks at us, he studies us, he tries his best to find the easiest point of penetration into our lives or into the middle of where we are or of who we are. Now, it's important that we understand that he does things differently with different people because we are made up differently. The attack that he brings to me may not be the exact way that he comes at you. Now, I'm not in any way suggesting that the enemy of our soul is omniscient nor is he omnipresent. He's not all-knowing, he's not all-powerful, and he's not everywhere at once. But he does have people or little imps, or as the scripture tells us, little devils that'll help him. And they go out and they watch you and I. They understand you and I, and they report back to him, I believe. So it's a planned attack. He knows us. Could I suggest it this morning that he knows us better than we know ourselves? That's proven in the way that so many people fall to the attack. Had we known what was about to take place, we would have withstood a little stronger. We would have put an extra guard in that area. So he understands us sometimes better than we understand ourselves. Let's go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 to find out where he plans to attack us, probably on a pretty even basis here. This is his major plan of attack, though he may work in a different tactic detail-wise differently in each one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 3. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." You say, what are you talking about? What are you trying to draw out of that verse or those verses of Scripture? Well, it's very clear to me that Paul is pinpointing an area of attack that the enemy uses across the board. The subtlety of the attack will come in through our mind. The attack on the mind. I believe that is the main point that he wants to get us at. If he can deceive us, if he can get us questioning, if he can get us working in our mind against the things that we know to be right, just like he did Eve. That's what Paul's referring to here. lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve. You see, he didn't come against Eve with some blatant thing, trying to attack her to do some atrocious situation. It was simply he was working on her mind, questioning whether or not God really meant what he said when he said, don't eat. You know, how hard is that? And I know that, you know, hindsight's 20/20. We have much greater wisdom in Eve's situation than what she did. And yet, how many times have we also failed in the same capacity or in the same place because he's attacked us at our mind and we have stumbled in the same way that Eve did? Planned attack on the mind. Now, you might be thinking here and putting two and two together and suggest that I'm saying that we have weak minds because I said that he attacks us in our weakest point. And then I turn around and say that he's attacking us in our mind. You know, our mind just might be our weakest point. Our mind just might be the point that is the weakest because we are so much governed by what we think and governed by our reasoning capabilities. You see, that's how we live. You know, there was some of us that wanted to go ice skating yesterday. But somebody went down there and came back with the report that it wasn't thick enough. I believe that it was thick enough. But the reasoning of the inspector said that it wasn't thick enough. Well, sometimes we have faulty reasoning, whether the inspector or me. You know, somebody may have had faulty reasoning. I'm not saying who. It was probably safe that we didn't all pile onto that ice. I still could have went ice skating, though. It was thick enough for me. So when we think about our mind, when our reasoning faculties come into play, we may not be on the same wavelength that the attacker's on. And the Scripture bears out that he is subtle in his attack. It's not just forefront. He will bombard us in the midst of our thinking, in the midst of our reasoning, and do his best to destroy. Now, how can he destroy us in our mind? He can destroy a church in our mind because he will create suspicion amongst the people. Or he will create division among the people. He will destroy a person through their mind by stagnating their spiritual growth. Get them to believe that they can slack off a little bit here. We don't have to be quite as radical on church attendance as what some of our grandparents have been. We don't have to be quite as dedicated to the worship place as what those who have gone before us have been. We can kind of slack off a little bit. I was talking with Brother Mallory, pastor up there at the Frankfort Church where the wedding was held. Talking with him a little bit yesterday and making comment about their live streaming capabilities, and he's had so many reports of people getting saved, and there was one especially that he mentioned that I had a connection to that got saved, and from the point that she got saved from hearing the message online, she's been at church every single Sunday for over a year now. Wow, that's a beautiful story. I said, yes, as beautiful as that is, I wonder how many people are taking the opportunity of this and just simply staying home and forsaking the house of God. You know, he can't help that, and he understands that as well. He's opposed to that as well. But if the devil can get us convinced that we can do just as well by staying away from the assembly, He'll do it. Now, that wasn't even in my notes. I don't know why that had to be there, but I guess it was from conversation with Brother Mowry. But he will do his best to stagnate our spiritual growth. He'll do what he can to catch us off guard with his subtle tendencies. He will do his best to get us caught off guard to compromise. Now, compromise, most of the time, is considered a bad word. And in this case, it is. John chapter 10, verse 1 tells us that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a liar. Now, that's pretty blatant. We understand that, don't we? We understand that if you've got to go through the door to get into the sheepfold. In other words, what Jesus was saying, we have to go through Christ and the shed blood of Calvary to be a Christian. But some people try to skirt that and get in some other way. Now, that's pretty blatant. That's pretty obvious. We understand the errors to that. But there's so many other more detailed subtleties that the enemy wants to throw in there to get us to compromise in our belief and our understanding of what we as a Christian then ought to do. And how we should live. I mentioned just a couple weeks ago that a lot of our understanding of how we should live rests on our understanding or our definition of God. Who is He? What is He? We live in a day today that one of the things, the attack on the mind from the enemy, is this New Age or humanistic belief that we are more than capable to handle the situations that come our way. Sitting here thinking, not necessarily along this particular line or because of this, but the song that we sang today, this morning, I Fear No Wind or Wave. As we sang that the first time, I thought, you know, it just went along with the song. Yes, how true that is. But then I began to think about it as we came to it the second time, and I thought, you know, I am afraid of wind and wave, except for the one that holds my hand through the wind and the wave. You know, I'm not capable of making it by myself. You see, that's the doctrine of our present age, that we can do it. We can make it. We have the power within ourselves to make it. And then there's always that attack on the mind that the devil wants to bring new light. New light for the new day. But Paul nips that pretty well, but we sometimes forget that Paul mentions it. Where someone says there's a new Jesus, or there's a new gospel, or there's something else that's new. Don't believe it. Don't accept it. He has a planned attack on the mind. He has a planned attack on the heart. The will. No, not that thumper inside, but the will. The thing that forms us inwardly, that we are inwardly, the heart, the core of our being, the thing inside that creates action. Guy told me one time he got in a fight. He was a Christian, he said. Got into a fight. And he put all the blame on the flesh. The flesh made that fist swing. I said, yeah, that may be true, but it was the will that made the flesh move. I had a decision to make. Am I going to punch him or am I not going to punch him? He has a planned attack on our heart. You know, it's easy for us. It's easy for us in certain circumstances to say, I want to be all that God wants me to be. Now, how many of us have been there? We've been in a great service, and my, it stirs us. It really makes us long to be more like Christ. But then when Monday gets here, As soon as we get out of the service, you see, there's something going on down in the will, the wheelhouse, down in the heart, that we have a decision to make if we are going to have spiritual growth or if we are going to be stagnant in our spiritual growth. We have the choosing. We have the ability to choose. We have a decision to make if we are going to stand against the attack that He places on our heart. Well, I read my Bible, read a few chapters or a few verses out of several chapters every week, and I thank the Lord for my meals, and thank the Lord for a new day and new breath. I go to church. Some people go to church because moms and dads make them. Some people go to church just to be peaceable. Some people go to church to put up a good front. Some people go to church because they long to be in church. They hunger to be in church. They hunger to be in church because they want to be among God's people in God's presence, and they want to worship God. But you see, it's only the latter of the list that is going to be saturated with what God wants them to be saturated with. It'll be the whole list of the whole list that are going to be stagnant. You can sit under the best preaching in the whole world. You can sit under the best song leading in the whole world. The special singing can be the best that the world has to offer, but you can still retain the stagnation of your heart that the devil wants you to maintain just simply by not wanting to be all that God wants you to be. You see, Jesus nailed it so clearly in his Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, they shall be filled." That's where it's at in the heart. He has a planned attack also on our natural desires. Our natural desires. You know, there's times that the enemy attacks us through natural desires. Are you getting that? How many of us love to push away from the table? We just came through the holidays. Thankfully, we waited until after the holidays to talk about this, huh? Boy, it's hard to push away from the table, especially during the holidays. My wife is one of the best cooks I think that this world's ever seen. Not gourmet, but just plain down-to-earth good cooking. You know, the other night we had pork tenderloins in the getting close to lunchtime, in the pressure cooker with taters and carrots and onions. It's hard to push away from that until it's all gone. Then it's easy to push away. That's just one of the natural desires that we have that the enemy would work against. There's other desires. You know, how did Babylon fall back in Daniel's day? How did Babylon fall? It fell to the Medes and Persians because they took the natural course of the river and diverted it so that they could come under the wall through the natural source of water. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that realistic when we think about the enemy of our soul coming right in through the nature that God has given us and working and trying his best to wreak havoc amongst people who want to serve God? We have to be careful. Our desires of music, our desires of reading, our desires all across the board, everything about us and all of our natural desires and what we want and what we like, we have to be careful. We have to be on guard because the enemy of our soul will attack us through that gate or under that wall, if you please. It's a planned attack. It's also a purposed attack. He has a purpose in destroying you. And it may not just be you. And it may not just be me. He has a purpose in mind that if he can get to you, that means he's probably going to be able to get to somebody else as well. He's planning to attack. He has a purpose in the attack. And he has a purpose of when he attacks and why he attacks and who he attacks. He has a purpose involved so that he can get in as many as possible and wreak as much havoc as possible to divide the home or to break up the church or destroy the family. You know, it's been said a number of times, if he can destroy the home or the family, he can destroy the nation. And look where we are in America today. If he can get mom and dad working against each other, then he's got his foothold in the door. It may be a secret division, but he still has his foothold where he'll be able to more successfully reach the children. If he can work in the minds of the children, so many times we're finding this out, if he can work in the minds of the children to decline in their morals and in their modesty, then he's also got the parents going along. You see, he has a purpose in his attack. Now this sounds pretty gloomy, doesn't it? But I want you also to know that the attack can be foiled. The attack can be foiled. You say, well, how can we do it? It sounds like it's nearly an impossible thing for us to be successful against his attack. In verse number 9, it tells us, whom resist steadfastly, or it could be stated there in perhaps better English where it would say, resist and keep on resisting. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Kept through the power of God. Resist the devil. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. If you've never memorized that verse, go home and memorize it. Revelation 12, 11. It's a good one to hang on to. They overcame through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, we can overcome. If it were possible for us to go and call for the heroes of faith that have already gone on to their eternal reward and say, Peter, you know, he was killed. He was martyred. Peter, I'm having an awful time with the attack of the enemy. What should I do? I believe that Peter would say, as he's already said, resist the devil. Resist and keep on resisting. Well, Peter, how can I do that? Resist him through the blood of the Lamb and your testimony. Let's call up for Andrew. Andrew, what's going on? You know, Andrew was martyred for his faith. Well, Andrew, I'm having an awful attack. What would he say? I expect this morning that he would say along with Peter, resist and keep on resisting. But Andrew, how can I resist? Through the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. What if we called up James or John? You know, James was killed. John they had tried to kill him. They finally exiled him. What horrible suffering these men went through. What is it? What can I do? Resist the devil, they would say. They resist and keep on resisting. How? Through the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Steadfast resistance. Paul, well, what about you, Paul? What do you have to say to us? You know, he was killed. Wow, what he went through. What would Paul say? Paul, I'm having a horrible time. The enemy is fighting. The conflict is raging. The attack is on. Paul, what should I do? He would say, fight the good fight. Continue to fight the good fight. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand. 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Gird yourself. Stand up and be strong with the armor that God has provided us, the armor, the whole armor, that we may be able to withstand or stand against the wiles, the attack, even though it's planned on our mind and on our senses, our desires and on our heart, and even though it's purposed to work against us and work against others, it can be stopped if we put on the whole armor of God. Now that's another message for a different time, but there is an armor that He has provided for us. You and I have the obligation to put that armor on that we may be able to withstand, because we have an adversary, the devil, that walketh about seeking whom he might devour. You see, we're not just playing games here. We're not here just to see who can get pinned or who can keep from getting pinned. We're talking about life and death situation. He's walking about seeking whom he might devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, word of their testimony. It may seem like the attack is difficult, nearly impossible, but if we keep our eyes upon the one who has been victorious and has promised us, the next verse that we didn't read this morning, but the God of all grace. Wow, what a wonderful verse. The God of all grace. That's another message in itself as well. Let's stand together this morning. It's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that can be our motto to be victorious in this generation as well. Praise the Lord. Greg Hampton, would you dismiss it?